So, how can listeners start their meditation journeys right now? What sort of things would you be recommending to them?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. The first I'd recommend, if you have a smartphone, download Headspace. So that's a great app. It breaks down meditation for 10 days and it gives you a meditation every day. I find the voice is really effective there, really get you deep into the meditation. And then after that, if you choose to pay for it, it continues on that sort of scheduling, but the first 10 days are free. And I think you can keep playing back those 10 days. And again, I have no affiliation with any of the things I'm recommending. I've just used them myself and I found them really effective for my own practice. And then another app, which I've found really cool is the app called Stop, Breathe, and Think. And the app basically asks you, how are you feeling right now? So happy, sad, angry, calm, whatever it is. And they recommend a few meditations based on that. And I found it really good, especially for people who can't sleep, who have sort of insomnia. That Stop, Breathe, and Think has a specific meditation stream for that specific issue. And it's really great for during the day because they're usually short 5 minute meditation, 5 to 10 minute meditations. And then if you want to read about the journey and to get yourself started and why you should meditate, there's a book by Sam Harris called Waking Up, which goes through really a spiritual journey of from the scientist perspective of why you'd want to do it. And he sort of talks about his life experience with meditation. And he also talks about the science. And if you get the audiobook of Waking Up, he has a really great voice for meditation and he guides you through a few meditations himself. Those are a good start. And then going on Tara Brach, her website, so that's TaraBrach. Her website has some excellent videos and audio recordings for meditation. And Mark Williams, who is one of the really big people who brought mindfulness meditation to the West, also has a great website and as well has published on this topic, and he actually has created a few meditation programs, 8-week programs. And if you get his book, you can sort of go through that program with the help of the book, and that's been effective as well. And check in around your local community. Most local communities, I can tell you for sure, in London, Ontario, in Toronto, in the US, all over, in England, there are local meditation teachers and yoga studios which do teach meditation. And that's a really great place to get started and to join a community of people who are focused on compassion and getting to know each other and getting to know themselves. And I think that's a really positive place to start your meditation journey.
I know there are, sorry, are there any other techniques, in particular that you would suggest to listeners?
Totally. So if you don't mind, I would love to do a short guided meditation here just to get people a feel for what kind of meditation techniques you might practice.
I think that would be a great idea.
All right.
I can do it with you now, as if you like, as the
Yeah,
host.
that'd be perfect.
We're all in this together, people.
So if you could find a comfortable chair or sitting on the floor, whatever's comfortable for you, with your spine straight and yourself generally relaxed and comfortable, but in a position where you'd stay awake. And you can take one deep in and out breath, and another in and out. And closing your eyes or lowering your gaze, trying to get in tune with your breath, noticing the in breath into your nose and out through your mouth, just recognizing it, focusing on it, and trying to follow it. Noticing what it feels like for your breath to go in and out of your body. Noticing the rising of your chest with each in-breath and the falling of your chest with each out-breath. Bring your attention to how it feels for your body as you breathe. How does each breath affect your body? Noticing your arms, the softening of your torso, and the tensing of your torso. Noticing any places in your body where you might be tense or relaxed. Notice what it feels like for your body to be in a chair or sitting on the floor. Where are your contact points? And each time you get distracted by your thoughts, bring your attention back to your breath with no judgment. It's simply normal to be distracted. Notice what it feels like to move your attention from your thoughts to your breath. Noticing that this can sometimes be easier or harder, depending on what's going on in your life that day. And that's okay. There's no right or wrong way to be distracted or focused. The exercise is one in which you're simply trying to move from your distractions, from your thoughts, back to your breath. Noticing again how it feels like to breathe in and out with each breath. When you're ready, you can start to bring awareness back to the room. Slowly opening your eyes.
Cool. I don't know how you felt about that at home, but certainly my mind feels a lot sharper.
Good.
Even after, like, what was it, 5 minutes of meditation?
Yeah.
It feels like I've reached some sort of clarity in what I'm thinking. I don't know where that's come from, but as you say, I think it's from the fact that you're You're focusing on the things you don't normally notice, on the things you take for granted, like the contact points between myself and the chair and the floor, for example.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing about meditation, in my opinion, is that you can basically do it at any point, anywhere. It's just the level of difficulty increases depending on how distracting your environment is. And that's part of the fun, right? Like, I've sometimes meditated in crazy situations just to see how deep into my meditation I can go, how well I can separate myself from the environment. And it's a wonderful thing to sort of know that you can always escape. And that's why we talk about that meditation that we just did, and we call it the breathing space. The space you can go to whenever you need to recenter or ground yourself.
Or reset, right?
Or reset, exactly.
Where's the craziest place you've meditated? Just out of complete curiosity.
I don't know that I've ever described it as necessarily, like, totally crazy, but so I've meditated in weird places, like in McDonald's, and I've also meditated on the top of mountains in BC.
British Columbia, for our listeners, by the way, BC.
Sorry?
I was just pointing out for our listeners that BC is British Columbia.
Oh, good point, yeah. I always forget that as a Canadian.
Yeah. Canadian bias.
Yeah, exactly. I have a Canadian bias for that. And I'm trying to think of where the craziest place I've ever meditated was. Because at the time, you never think of it as crazy. You just think of it as, yeah, this seems like a good time to meditate.
That's just another place to meditate.
Yeah, exactly. I remember thinking the first time I did it at the gym, how dangerous it might be.
What, if you suddenly fell off the treadmill?
Yeah, if you fall off the treadmill or you're working out and you just sort of don't notice how much weight you're lifting or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be awkward. Yeah, if you suddenly dropped a pair of dumbbells.
That's not yet happened to me. I mean, I usually find that when I meditate, I become a little bit more awake. That just definitely wasn't the case when I started meditating. When I started meditating, I would always get sleepy. And it was only with time that I actually started to meditate and become more awake. And I think that's when I shifted my focus to sort of like exploring my mind rather than just trying to quiet it.
That's a nice segue on to my next question, actually. What are the challenges that first-time meditators often face, and how do you think they can be overcome?
I think the biggest one is judgment. I think a lot of people come into meditation with the expectation that they're going to be able to shut off their mind and not have to worry about it, and then they're shocked when their mind is really loud.
That it's kind of buzzing and full of thoughts, so that all of these kind of unpacked thoughts that have nowhere to go.
Yeah, and then the other one, which I hear is a difficulty that a lot of people have told me of, is they don't think they can sit down for 10 minutes in quiet. And to those people, I'd say, don't sit down, go for a walk and meditate. There's a lot of really great guided walking meditations, and those are also a really great start. So just when you're walking, to bring attention to how you're breathing, and to also bring attention to how it feels to walk and what your body is actually doing when it's walking. So by just bringing your attention to your walking, you're really doing the same thing you do when you're sitting, just that attentional focus. And that's a really great place to start for those who are worried about not being able to sit. And for those who are being too judgmental, just take a second and realize the exercise you're doing, the entire point you're doing it is because it's actually hard to focus. And that's something that people forget when they start to meditate. They sort of forget that this is actually a really difficult task, but it can be fun, you know? You make it fun by realizing the point of the task isn't to be really good at it, really good at focusing on just your breath and not being distracted, but the fun is actually to see what those thoughts you have are and how they arise. So how do you end up at this thought that you're having right now when you're meditating? And what does it mean for you, right? You have this sort of beautiful space of just you and yourself to study and enjoy it. Enjoy your self-exploration. And I think that's where you can sort of combat a lot of those beginner problems with that sort of attitude.
Yeah, it also strikes me that another beginner problem is commitment. And I think that's in some way related to judgment as well. How can that be addressed?
I think, at least with myself, I found that the best way for me to combat commitment was to was every few months to try a different type of meditation. So I started off with the traditional sitting meditation where you sit for 15 to 30 minutes and you try to meditate. And then I was just not finding enough time in my day. So I switched to using Headspace, which is that guided meditation app. And you can sort of do that on the go while you're on the bus. Just realize you need to make your meditation practice flexible to your life. And you need to fit it in, but you don't have to continuously keep fitting it in the same way. Change it up. Get an app. Look it up on YouTube. Buy a book. Whatever it takes to keep yourself going will be what will increase your commitment. And you'll just reach a certain saturation point where you're just committed to meditation suddenly. You just have to get through the first, 6 to 8 months, I think. That's where you sort of lose your commitment a lot. And then just realize it's okay to stop meditating. You can always go back to it, right? The realization that you need meditation or that you like meditation is not a bad one. And you don't have to feel bad about stopping meditating. I mean, it's not the case that if you stop meditating for a couple of months that you can't go back to it exactly the same way you started. So just realizing that it's okay to stop, and it's definitely okay to start again.
Cool. I can see meditation having so many applications, from actors in training to people writing their master's dissertations, like myself, or, as you say, people in the technology industry, in professional sports, and so on and so forth. And I'm interested in this idea, in your idea of a kind of consciousness revolution, about sort of awakening people to their own self-consciousness, to their own understanding of how they're sort of reacting to the world, if you like. So could you sort of explain a bit more about that? I hope I've kind of summarized that effectively.
No, I think you did. There's a really great quote in the book Waking Up, and it basically, I'm not going to get it correct, but it's along the lines of everything in our life. Sorry, let me say that again. So the only thing we know to not be an illusion in our life is consciousness, is our experience of the world. Because that's the only thing we can be sure of. And I love that idea, because that's the reason why you need to explore your consciousness, right? So get to know yourself through yourself. There's no better way to get to know yourself than to look at how you think, how you feel, how you process emotion. What is your logic? What is the way you function? And meditation and things like meditation are ways to get to that sort of exploration of yourself, to look within and to understand what is it that you want? What is it that makes you react in the way that you're currently reacting? Why does this thing make you so stressed? Why are you anxious about this? What is it about your life right now that's getting you down? What are you not satisfied about? These are the kind of questions you can ask in this sort of meditative space. And although you may not get to the exact answer you were expecting, it's a place to start. And that's really what the consciousness revolution is about. It's about gaining an awareness of who you are, what you want, and then applying it in your life. So realizing that maybe it's not a great idea for you to have so many electronics surrounding you all the time. Maybe you're too distracted by all these social media. So it's okay for you to take a break from it. Nothing will happen. And maybe you need to go see a mental health therapist, because that's okay. You need help right now. You need someone you can seek help from. Whatever the list of things that you haven't been addressing, meditation is a safe place to do it. And ideas like that is what the consciousness revolution is about. It's about taking control of your life. It's about recognizing what your needs are. And it's about separating yourself from the status norm. So the idea that everybody should be watching and consuming the same things through your Netflix subscription or through your iTunes subscription. You know, if you should listen to the most popular things because that's how you stay in the know. Well, maybe you should actually think about what it is that you want. What is it that you actually like? And the moment you start to do that, you may start to realize that there's other ways you can curate your life, that you can add things to your life that can make it better. And the logic behind those things might be contained in those meditative experiences or those conscious experiences. That sort of gaining awareness of yourself. And from that, you hope that people also start to gain an awareness of the impact that they have on themselves and on the world when they do certain things. So the environmental impact or the impact politically of what they say and what they do, you know, so sort of realizing that their actions have some sort of effect. And you start to gain that awareness and that sort of logical understanding of the world when you do things like you meditate, because these are these closed off spaces which aren't impacted by the media you're consuming. And so you get to basically look at only the reality of the situation, not being pushed to the left or to the right, not being more conservative or liberal in this moment, just looking at what reality actually is like. And so it's in those spaces you can gain an awareness of what the truth is, right? So looking for the facts of the world. And I think that's what being more conscious really means to me.
Great. What you've been saying reminds me of the motto at the Oracle at Delphi. So whenever travelers went to the Oracle at Delphi some 2,000 years ago, they would see a sign saying, "Know thyself." And it's kind of striking and kind of cool in a way that a slogan from 2,000 years ago can still be so true today and have and be relevant to something the Greeks never heard of before, or something the Greeks would never have heard of in their lifetime, the idea of meditation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it comes down to what is it that humans need is always consistent, right? So we need to be able to focus on our internal self so that we can actually know what we want, because other people are not going to tell us what our mind is like. You're the only one who actually has access to your mind. And so you need to know thyself to know thyself.
Again, meta thinking. I think we've gone to some very deep places today. And I hope that you've taken a bit away, dear listener, and you've known thyself a bit better as a result of this wonderful conversation that I've been having with Daniel Harless. Daniel, thank you very much for joining me on The Provocateur. I hope you've enjoyed chatting to me as much as I have. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners at all?
Yeah, I think the idea is if you want to learn about what you want and who you are, then meditation is a tool to do that. It's not the only one, and that doesn't mean you have to do it, but give it a try, and give it a real try. Try it a few different ways and practice it, and then you'll know whether it's a good fit for you. And that's what's important to me, is that more people try these sort of things that I know are effective at making us more satisfied with our lives and more happy and more conscious of the things we do and the impact we have on the world.
Great. And if you find that it works, it's awesome that you've managed to find the power of meditation and how powerful a tool it can be. So I wish you well. If you decide to go down the meditation journey. Thank you very much for joining me, Daniel. It has been really enlightening. And thank you, dear listener, for joining us on another episode of The Provocateur. I hope to see you again soon on another edition where we'll be discussing another groundbreaking idea from another emerging thinker, another way to see the world in a different way, one idea at a time. You've been listening to Gok Hilang and Daniel Harless. Thank you very much.
Thank you.